His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of bitches, get out, get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power. Black power and more black power to my people. This is your brother, your soldier in arms and comrade in battle, Sean Kwali. Happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from the hails and the smells of North America. As always, I count this a privilege. I count this an honor. I count this a joy to be able to talk to you from this platform that we call and consider Black Power Radio. And as always, we promise not to be long, but we must be strong. We have to open up this show giving thanks to the God of our forefathers and foremothers for another chance to make whatever is wrong right, and for another day in life. We give thanks to our ancestors, those who have paved the way, those who have given us inspiration and intelligence, those who have guided us, those who have nurtured us, those who have sustained us. We are appreciative. We thank those who have recognized that we have no choice but to fight, and they understand that in order for us to advance, we have to push and we must get free. So we give honor to our ancestors, those who have not only taken life, but also have given life. We're thankful. The list I say is too long to name, but you know who I'm talking about, even those in your own personal life. You know who we're talking about, those who have paid the sacrifice for us to be here today. We have to say that we come in the spirit of a beautiful, bold, bald-headed black man. But let me first say I'm thankful for every single Panther regiment, every regiment of the Panther Party, no matter if we're talking about Lowndes County, Alabama, with Kwame Ture, the Honorable Kwame Ture, formerly known as Stokely Carmichael, and Brother Mukasa Ricks and Brother Bob Brown and so many others who work to organize for the safety of our people. Or if we're talking about the riots that popped up in Northern California, and what happened in San Francisco, or if you're talking about that revolutionary rise for self-defense that popped up in the spirit of our honorable comrade, Minister and Dr. Huey P. Newton, and Honorable Chairman Bobby Seale. If you're talking about Oakland, if you're talking about New York City that popped up, Queen Mother Moore and so many others, we have a long tradition of struggle, a long tradition of struggle that we are here because of, and we have to give thanks for our early beginnings, our beginnings that popped up here in 1989 in the hails and smells of North America in Dallas, Texas. And we're thankful for everyone who has held the line on up to the ascension and rise of our Black Power General, 100% black man. As I told you, that bold, bald, beautiful black man who told you that his mission and his aim and purpose on this earth was to give this devil hell from the cradle to the grave. I'm speaking of our Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And we have to be appreciative. We are appreciative. And we give thanks to a man who's continuing on in his name and carrying on the legacy and pushing forth and making sure that the mission and the works of the Black Power General and that legacy of the Panther continues. We're talking about the attorney at war, the warrior lawyer, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. And, of course, this is Black Power Radio. Turn up your radio. Turn up your phones. Get real close to it. Get nuzzled up next to it. Because here we're going on a bumpy ride. We're going on a revolutionary ride. And we're happy to have on the program with us our sister and comrade who has been putting in some work. She has been putting in some work in the hells and smells of North America, and she has not let up. We intend tonight to hear from our sister warrior. I told you all the last show that, you know, I was tired of the sexism, and that we're tired of the sexism, and that if there's any black woman in any organization that is being held back simply because she is a woman, that you have to fight like hell. That you have to fight like hell to get on board. You have to fight like hell to make your commission known, make your mission known, to show your talent, your skill, and your effort. You got to fight like hell. In every single black organization in the hells of North America, if you won't release this black woman, you're doing yourself an injustice. And so it is fitting, knowing that in our ancient of days, our comedic times, knowing that this black woman was not just some cheap object of sex appeal, as she is displayed now. She wasn't just some plaything, but this black woman was recognized as the goddess of our universe, the supreme power and goddess of our universe, to be revered and respected and honored among all the nations. It is fitting here on Black Power Radio that we have our sister queens. I don't think that the sister queens are displayed enough throughout the black nation. You always see the brothers up front. You always see the men out front, and we're supposed to be taking our place as the protectors and maintainers. But I'm saying let's give credit where credit's due. You would not have majority of any of these movements. You wouldn't even have the black church, and in some cases even the black mosque. You wouldn't have anything if it was not for this honorable black woman. And so it is important that we give honor and reverence to our queens and our goddesses and our mothers, and that we do the right thing by those who have brought us forth in this world to fight the good fight. And so we have our sister with us. And, of course, we are anxious to hear from her, and we're anxious to talk about the things that's going on in the world. There's a lot that's happening in the world. If you have not been keeping up with what's going on, you're missing out. You are behind the times. Now is the time that you should keep yourself glued to the tube. You should keep your eyeballs glued to the pages of the news. You should keep yourself informed on what's happening. They would say that one of the main things, one of the main staples that Minister Malcolm X had over others was that he was in tune with the pulse of the people, that he knew what was happening with the people and knew what was happening with current events. And if we say we follow honor that man, you got to know what's going on right now. As I reported to you last week on the show, just a few shows ago, I told you that right now, statistically, according to not Sean Qualley's statistics, but according to America's statistics, the white man is the new minority in the hells and smells of North America. That's what I said, that right now the darker people of the planet Earth are not only outnumbering this devil, 11-1 across the planet, now this beast is outnumbered in the hells and smells of North America. And so now they're going buck wild crazy. They're going buck wild crazy trying to maintain a fertile grip on white supremacy and the white power structure. They're going buck wild crazy. But here, all you got to do is read the vital signs. The vital signs say that the white power structure, and right along with the white power structure goes the old Uncle Tom Negro, that you are on your deathbed, and that there is a new black man and black woman that is rising up in the hells and smells of North America. And there is a new existence that is in the hells and smells of North America, and we are a sign of that today. And so if you are not keeping up, I would suggest very quickly that you stay tuned, that you stay tuned to what's going on, and that you keep yourself plugged in, because there is no way that something like this can go under the radar. Not only that, but when you look at what's happening with the job market and the unemployment situation in America, you see now that even as we approach what they consider a holiday, that right now most people here in the hells and smells of North America don't have too much to celebrate about. As we're talking about Memorial Days and Labor Days and all this type of stuff, you don't have too much to celebrate about. Right now, we should be talking about building for ourselves. We should be talking about doing for ourselves. We should be talking about organizing for ourselves. We should be talking about pooling our resources, coming together as a people and making it happen for ourselves. Because as I'm saying, when you look at the vital signs, hell, America is in trouble. America is reaping what she sowed out of all the hell that she has put on the darker peoples of the planet Earth. Now, you see it hitting her own shores. Now, you see the calamities even as y'all say, Mother Nature. You see Mother Nature even hitting her on her shores. You see the economic situation on the verge of total collapse. And so, hell, as a field hand, as one who would be in the field, we shouldn't feel bad, and you shouldn't feel sad. You should feel excited and happy to see heap this kind of savage behavior and brutality on your people. You should feel good to see them on the ropes. You should feel good to see the enemies of your people staggering and stumbling and not able to hang on and not able to push on. You should be cheering right now. Hell, hell with a Labor Day. Hell with a Memorial Day. You should be letting off balloons and shooting your guns in the air because this cracker's on the ropes. That's what I said. For those of you who are weak-hearted and weak-kneed, let me remind you, this is Black Power Radio. And we bring on our sister Nikki Love. She ain't going to come talking no weak talk. Let me just tell you all, the reason why the black man is able to stand up, a real black man, the real black man will stand up because he know he got a strong black woman riding with him. Some of you are so cowardly, you're running behind Susie. You're running behind Heather because you a punk yourself. And you can't roar and you can't flex your lion muscles. You can't flex your muscles, but we're trying to make a man out of you on Black Power Radio. It's so much to cover. I don't want to take none of the time, but we're going to stretch out tonight. And so I'm definitely at this point, family, I'm definitely going to bring on our sister. Now, many of you all know that, you know, she has her own radio show. She's going to talk about it. She's reaching people. She's organizing. But one thing that I definitely want her to talk about before we leave the airways tonight, I want her to touch on the fact that our people are in tune with this universe, and our people are in tune with our ancestors, and our people are in tune by what's happening. It didn't take no CNN or no Fox News or none of that stuff to tell her that an earthquake was going to hit New York. She told you it was going to happen before it happened. She said out of her own mouth, it's recorded, it was going to happen, and it happened. And this ain't no spooky stuff. This is some real stuff, some real intuition that comes from our people that we're not in tune with most times as the people. So she's got to talk about it. She's got to talk about the natural way of life. She's going to touch on tonight the male-female relationships. It's so much. So tell a neighbor, tell a friend. For those of you who are listening, by phone. You may not be by your computers. The number is 646-478-4447, 646-478-4447. And without any further ado, I'd like for you all to bring to our radio station, our radio show, Black Power Radio, with the strong Black Power, our sister, Nikki Love. Black Power, sister.
Black Power, my brother, how are you?
Doing good. How you doing, Queen?
I'm good. I'm excited. You done got me all hyped up and, you know, ready to go at it and start talking, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, look at you. You done got me inspired, you know?
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. That's how we going to do it. Tell us now, you know, I know you're known. I know that, you know, you have your fan base, but just for those who may have been living in a cave with Fred Flintstone for the past 2,000 years, kind of tell the people who Nikki Love is. Where'd you come from? How'd you get started?
Well, Nikki Love is originally from Brooklyn, New York, now located in ATL. I've been doing radio for about 4 years now on Blog Talk. Also, I'm not a veteran to dealing with the community and dealing with my youth and my brothers and sisters. I've been doing that for about 20 years of my life, you know, in the communities from New York to Florida to when I was in the military. So, at the end of the day, I'm definitely not a veteran to making sure that we bring unity amongst our people, you know, in the Black community. You know, I've been about that for a long time. But unfortunately, they gave us the World Wide Web, and they said, we're going to give you a platform because we want it to be worldwide. We want the message to be heard worldwide. So here we have it, been on the Blog Talk for 4 years, and just making sure that I continue to liberate the minds of my people, try to bring unification, try to, you know, close that communication gap between a Black man and a Black woman so we could be better role models for our babies out there in the streets.
No doubt about it. So you've got some strong network in the streets. You're pretty versatile then. And so I just kind of want to just jump right into it. I want to just cut past all the feelings and all the trimmings. Kind of, first of all, Nikki, you're really strong on us having a strong family unit and us being together as a people. Kind of talk to us on why you feel like it's important for us to maintain our family unit. Talk about the breakdown of our family and what happened to us.
Well, you know, one of the things I'm really strong about the family is that we don't have a nation. We say we have a nation, but we don't have a nation. And it all starts with a Black man and a Black woman. As we all know, over the years, many, many years, there have been a conquering division mechanism put in the Black relationship. I mean, and this got so bad, my brother, that, you know, I have to sit back and shake my head. It makes me angry, but it don't make me give up. And we do know that the white man has done a lot to conquer and divide this Black woman and Black man for the simple fact they know that together we are a force that's not to be reckoned with. And if we come together, you understand, that stay behind. So, you know, my goal is to continue to close the communication gap between a Black man and a Black woman and let us understand that a Black man and a Black woman balance each other out. You don't dominate me and I don't dominate you. It ain't about that. You understand? We have to understand that we balance each other out physically, mentally, spiritually. You understand? And physically, mentally, spiritually. And that's it. So when we understand that and understand the underlying reason why the Black relationship has been conquered and divided by educating our people, then we can start to close that communication gap. One of the things I say is once we as Black women and Black men get it together, then we can be those role models for our youth in the community. As we all know, the youth ain't got no respect for us now to this day. They don't respect the elders. You understand what I'm saying? They don't respect their Black women. Black women don't respect their Black men. And I've been working on lately basically doing the videos. And, you know, on Wednesday nights on my show, I do the relationship show covering everything we can think of, you know, that goes on in the Black relationship and then coming with a solution, you know. My thing is once we get that communication gap closed, it starts with the family. Then we can get our communities back. We can get our youth back. Then we can build our nation. Then we can build our government. But until we do that, you know, we don't have a nation. And we've got to understand that. I mean, for years and years, and I say that, you know, along with all the conquering division mechanisms that they have put in the Black relationship, and then you have religion, you know, where we're governed under the patriarchal white supremacist system where, you know, they're giving you religion and you got the white man that governs the black man and got him thinking that he is to dominate his black woman, you know, which that's not the case. You know, we understood what, how we worked it back in, as the original people in original times. So, I mean, it's been many, many years of brainwashing and programming done to the black people, to our people. And we've
right.
got to get brainwashed and deprogrammed.
Exactly, exactly. Now, what, now there's an argument going around, Sister Nikki, that now, I'm not going to say that I agree. I don't agree with this argument. I'm just putting this to you, just to state this out here. There's an argument right now that the black woman has become the worst enemy of the black man. Have you heard that? Do you agree with that or disagree with that?
Well, you know, I'm going to say I'm 50-50 on that. And I'm going to say that because if there's one thing I do know about my sisters, and I can speak because I'm a sister and I know and I talk to many of them, there's one thing I know about my sisters. We love our black men. Your sister will stick with you, support you, but I think what's going on is our sisters have gotten tired. You know, we're tired because of the fact that, you know, we feel that our black men don't understand us. You know, I've got more black men saying, well, sisters got attitude, the sisters are this way, the sisters that way. They can't deal with the strength of a black woman. Now, I mean, at the end of the day, sisters also, some of us, have gotten to the point when a white man said, hey, black woman, we're going to give you this, this, and this, but you can't include the black man. And it started way back from slavery times, moved up to the 60s when they put the, when they give the black woman Section 8 welfare, the better jobs, the better education than our black men to keep y'all oppressed. Now, some of the sisters have taken that and ran with it, and they walk around here talking about, I don't need a man. That's a whole bunch of bull. They talk about, I'm independent. That's a whole bunch of nonsense. Because what we got to understand, you damn right we need our black men. We need them right. We need y'all right by our sides. And we need y'all to understand that you are to be the protectors of us. And I have to say, when sisters get that attitude, they got to understand that they are part of the responsibility of why our black men or black boys are turning out the way that they're turning out.
Talk about it. Don't let that go. Don't let that go, because I just saw the VMAs. I'm not no space alien. I keep on what's happening. I saw the VMAs. I saw Lil Wayne with like extra tight pants on. I mean, is this what's popular right now?
Let me tell you something. Ain't nowhere in the world. And I don't have a son, but I got a nephew I'm raising because my sister died. Let me tell you something. He better not ever think about coming here with no tight pants, and I'll punch a hole through his chest. Real talk. Now,
right.
I'm gonna leave y'all with this. A black woman, okay, when she nurtures that child, when that child is in her womb, that boy child, her job is to nurture him. He comes out, he suckles on her breast. Not only that, remember, he's connected to her umbilical cord. Then her job is to start teaching him. Now, I say, if she doesn't have a man in the household, when he gets about 14 or 15 years old, it's her job to teach him not how to be a man, but to find the man within himself. I can't teach you how to be a man, but I can teach you how to find the man within him, within yourself. And then I prepare him to deal with what he's going to face in society under a patriarchal white supremacist system. From that point on, I teach him that he is to be the protector of me and all of his sisters, aunties, aunties, sisters, you know, cousins. That is your job as a black man, is to be the protector of the black woman. Now, why I said some of the sisters have to take responsibility, because we don't do that. I do see a few sisters that I know that, you know, walking around here with their sons, and I know some right here in Atlanta walking around with their sons and thinking it's cool. He's switching more than I am down the doggone street. Nah, that's not cool.
Right, right.
In him, it's okay to be feminized, you see. And I have a problem with that. So sisters are part of responsibility. And now, if they have a man in the household, it is still her duty and her job. If there's one thing we do know, and y'all brothers know, that if anybody talks about your mother or anybody talks about, you know, wants to threaten your mother, you will go and kill them. You will try to halfway kill them. You understand what I'm saying? Because you like...
That's true.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute. That's mama now. Don't talk about mama. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
If you have love for your mother like that, then you should have love for every black woman like that. But, of course, we do know that society has played a big part in that, and also black women. The black women, we are strong women. You understand? Sometimes we don't smile because we get disappointed. But sometimes we have to figure out, why do you get disappointed? Because you got to make sure that you teach that boy. Just for instance, another thing, my nephew, you're going to learn how to respect a black woman. Understand that. That means you can't be bringing two and three women up in my house. If you're going to have one, you're going to do right by her. And if you don't do right by her, then let her go. See, but, you know, we allow. We tell the, you know, boys, it's okay for you to have two and three women. Now, mind you, this is the problem with our sisters. I mean, I talk about it on my show, my brother. I tell them all the time. The biggest complaint, and I do spiritual readings around the world, the biggest complaint I get is about women being emotionally distressed about their black men that have cheated on them or either beat on them. Now, I have to tell them, well, you're part of the problem because you're allowing it. However, this is the number one complaint that I get. So when I hear these sisters talking, and I'm talking about same story, different place, from Detroit to New York, you understand, that women, black women, are complaining about their black men, and most of it is about infidelity. Real talk.
Yeah, that's deep. That's deep. So you're saying it's the same song all around the world then? That's what you're saying.
I'm serious, my brother. And that's what inspired me to say, okay, we got to do something about closing the communication gap between our black men and black women. That doesn't take responsibility away from the sisters, because I get on them too. A man can only do to you what you allow him to do to you. Don't ever let a man get you emotionally distressed when you can't take care of your babies and you can't function in your everyday duties because you worried about a man.
That's true. That's true.
You're part of the problem.
But where is the breakdown? Because now what I've noticed, Nikki, and tell me if you see the same thing. What I've noticed between the black man and the black woman is that sometimes it seems like we're saying the same thing, but it's being heard differently or communicated differently. So where's the breakdown? What is it that causes us to think we're saying the same thing but not receive it the same way?
Well, and you're right, and what happens is, you know, we have a lot of black men that feel like, you know, black women try to control them. We are saying the same thing. The breakdown is, you know, when, like I said, when that conquer and division mechanism is put into our relationship. Let me give you an example. Last year, I'm driving downtown Atlanta. Y'all know I'm from New York, and, you know, we don't see billboards as big as, I don't know what, on 42nd Street. But I never seen a billboard this huge in my life. I'm driving downtown Atlanta. The billboard said, and you all remember this, CNN, Blacks in America, is set. The black woman and the family, the next day, was the black man. That's what I call a subliminal message. Now, they're telling me that my black man is not worthy of being part of the black family. You hear what I'm saying? So over the years,
Atlanta,
we have had so many conquering division mechanisms, and let me tell you this, also to include the fact that it was throwing a white woman at the black man as well.
Right.
You see what
exactly.
I'm saying? You see? And then the black man got a little brainwashed, you know, because then the black woman starts saying, well, I'm independent. I don't need a man. I don't want a man. I don't need a man. I make most of the money. I don't need a man. You see what I'm saying? And see, that's where most of the conquering division started coming about. I don't need you, my black brother, because I can make more money than you. I don't need you. And then here comes the black man. I don't need you, sister, with an attitude. You make more money, I go get a white woman who's submissive to me. See what I'm saying? They knew what the hell they was doing. They knew what they was doing. And now it's to the point where we walking around here talking about, well, black men ain't S-H-I-T. Brothers talking about,
right,
black women got attitude. They too strong and too aggressive. I don't want a woman like that. We got to stop it. And if we don't stop it, they ain't, because they know the power of the black man and black woman coming together. They know we are a force that is not to be reckoned with, and they're scared to death.
That's
and
true.
Not only that, they're even scared more of y'all than anybody. For the simple fact, I feel that my brothers are more oppressed.
Break that down. Because
some
people
say
disagree
y'all
with you, though, Nikki.
I know. People have disagreed with me. But they have to show me facts. When I look at the statistics of my brothers in prison, when I look at the statistics of when my brothers are getting racially profiled, when I look at the statistics of 2011, where my young brother at the age of 27 is being hung because he's black, racism still going on, lynching still going on in 2010 December, and the amount of young brothers in jail, more than the amount that died in slavery, that's a problem. Now, we do got sisters in jail, but it nowhere amounts to the amount of brothers in jail. You understand? Now, I could take it to felonies. Women, black women who get felonies, black men who get felonies, guess what? They'll give that black woman a job, but quicker than they give it to you.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying?
That's,
so
that
when
is
we
true.
Look at, you know, I say that our brothers are more oppressed because they really know the power y'all have, but y'all don't even know the power you have. So they must continue to uplift the black woman and get her to think, to, you know, to the point where she don't need you, because they got to do everything in their power to keep y'all down. And this is the mentality that it's our responsibility as black women to continue to support y'all. That white man give you a job over there, you go. And you take that and you come back and you support your black man. If he can't get a job, you do something. You don't leave
right.
your black man hanging.
Right.
Not at
many,
all.
But many black men that I hear, and we talk in the barbershops and in, you know, in our own company, many black men, I just want you to address this, many black men do feel left out by the black woman.
Well, they do, but then they have to look at self. Now, we got to and look at the whole problem. First of all, the majority of them are governed under the white male supremacist system. And if they feel left out, you understand, then they got to say, okay, what is it that we need to do? Maybe our brothers need to rise up. You see how the white man came and gave the black woman jobs. And say,
right.
Oh, hell to the no. Y'all ain't taking our sisters nowhere. You see what I'm saying? You ain't going to give us our sisters nothing. We going to make sure that we do what we got to do for our sisters.
I'm just listening to you on that one. I'm not saying that I agree or disagree. Just for the record, I'm just stating this out here. And by the way, those of you that are listening online, you can also put your questions in. I'm just trying to get as much of what I hear out to us so she can respond. That's true, sis. So for the black man that's listening, you know, I know that you don't represent the whole world, but just from your opinion, tell us what it is our sisters want to see. From us, from black men. What does the black woman want to see from the black man here in the hills of North America?
You know what? I want my brothers to look within and see the strength and know who they are. I want them to stop fearing. Don't fear. You hear what I'm saying? Stop fearing. As I said earlier, the black woman is part of that responsibility. But once I help you find a man within yourself and you go out to society, don't let that white man tell you ain't no man. Don't let him treat you any way. Because at the end of the day, when you get out into that society, you are the protector of your sisters. You're protector of the family. And that's the part black women need to teach their boys and their sons. And black men that have been out into society and knows what it's like to be a man. Because nowadays we got boys. We got boys. My thing is, also with the infidelity, like I said, that was the number one problem I heard from all the women around the nation. Because religion and because of the patriarchal white supremacist system, it was cool to have a mistress. It was cool, and religion is cool to practice polygamy or whatever you want to, however you want to put it. I got a different take on that. I really do, and we're not going to get into that now. However, I want my black men to get more serious.
That's right.
You understand? Understand that their job and their duty is to protect that family. I want them to make sure they take care of their babies. I want them to find that strength within and be the protectors of the black woman as she does her job, because she got a job too. But I need to know that y'all have my back, Well, I'm trying to get the community together. I need to know that I'm going to be protected. I don't have to worry about one of my brothers arguing with me like a female, you know what, a female dog, okay? I don't have to worry about that. My goal and my focus is to continue to liberate the minds, educate our people, get it back to where we used to have it takes a village to raise a child. And while I'm doing that, I need to know that I don't have to worry about the white man killing one of my babies or hanging one of my babies. I want to know that if anything goes on in my community, we are protected. And that's what I want my black men to do.
Good point. Good point. Can you go back on this? I know you don't want to go too far unless you're not going to offend. You're on Black Power Radio. Let me just say you're on Black Power Radio. I want you to kind of touch on this situation with the polygamy. Now, there is one school of thought that says that the black man, you know, it's natural for the black man to want to be with more than one woman and whatnot. What's your take on that?
Well, we got to understand, first of all, let me just let you all know this. My mother's side is from Africa. I speak my language. I cook my food. So I'm very original. I'm aware of my culture, by the way, for those of you who don't know. But I want to say this. First of all, polygamy was put in play by African women, for those who are not educated on that. And when it was put into play, it was put into play for community purposes, to continue to grow the community and have an army to work and make sure that it provided for that community. It was sort of like a business contract. Now, there's a few people here in America, and they practice polygamy, but they don't do it the right way. And because of the emotional state that we are in, black women and black men, we can't even get it together with one woman and one man, never mind two and three. There's very few that's doing it. And the way that it's done in Africa, and not all tribes practice polygamy, the way that it's done in Africa is if you have one, two, or three wives, first of all, the man does not live with neither one of the wives. Second of all, they are treated the same and equally. He is financially able to take care of them. Okay? Now, here in the United States of America, it ain't working. It ain't working. Although we do know that majority of the times y'all got another woman on the side anyway. But if you look at majority of times, if the other woman find out, then what happened? You got drama, chaos, she want to break the windows out your car, she want to cut your face off, she want to go off on you. Some women might accept it. Some women might accept it, but in this day and time right now, we ain't got time for that. You know why? Because, first of all, our emotional state of mind is not right. We could barely make it. The economic system is not right. You could barely make it with one, never mind two or three, trying to take care of two or three women. Mm-hmm. And the way y'all say black women are, the way y'all say black women are, I don't think you could deal with the mentality of two attitudes, according to y'all, or strong women at one time. They're going to pull you apart.
Exactly.
Come on now.
Truth be told, you're right. Let me go to the phone line on that. 508-509. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. Sister Nikki Love, your question, please. Black Power.
Yes, brother, you there?
Yes, we're here. Black Power to you.
Yes. Wonderful. Nikki Love, Reginald Hall from Sapelo Island, Georgia. Respect.
Respect, my brother. How are you?
Peace and greetings. I just wanted to touch on a couple of the points. As we know, a lot of us don't know what our culture is. And so in the basis of education, let's start there. If we take it to the next level of what we know as land gouging has a reasonable effect on our mentality because we then have to displace our families. If we take it to the next step after we finish talking about land gouging and displacement of families, we then have been cut off of the true umbilical cord of what we know as a culture. So not knowing the culture does not relegate us to being ignorant. It relegates us to what we have gone through as the suppression of an oppressor that has eradicated our memories, that has had the opportunity to weaken our state of mind, that has had the opportunity to take what we know as community and disrupt the unity within that, that we have suffered economic deprivation, that we have suffered educational deprivation, that most of us as African descent people are psychologically imbalanced due to what we have gone through over these last few hundred years. In fact, the king and queen emphasis is only that, because we're still with under the Most High's rule. And the Most High, told to me by my spiritual counselor, said that there's only one king, one queen, one unit, and family within that umbrella cannot be disrupted or the umbilical cord has been severed. Now, how do we stop bleeding? We stop the bleeding by, one, education. Education of the culture in which we come from. I'm blessed to know that we come out of Sierra Leone, West Africa, who right now the president, his name is President or His Excellency Koroma, has decided to begin global conversations with what we are known as the Gullah Geechee Nation, the Gullah Geechee people. Gullah is our linguistics or our language, which stems out of Angola, which most of us from North Carolina down to the bottom of South Carolina are known as Gullah or Gola people, speaking a Gullah language. When you come down to Georgia and down to Florida, we have then become Geechee. So because we know who we are and have an understanding of who we're supposed to be by nature, and go back to memory eradication, if you say my name is Reggie long enough, I'm going to believe my name is Reggie, although you, Sister Love, know my name is Reginald. Memory eradication does something to us as a people that doesn't allow our children to understand the story. I said the story. By not being able to sit on our grandparents' lap because all of a sudden their grandchildren live in New York because somebody stole the land that they could have built the whole nation of a family for generations on, has had an effect all the way up the line. A lot of people don't even know how many black men were hung in the United States of America last year per our data collection. We've discovered...
Reggie, let me interrupt you real quick. Let me say something to you. And I just figured out who you was. And how are you? I'm sorry I haven't gotten back to you, but you know during the summer times I get very busy. However, I hear exactly what you're saying. Now, you stated and you talked about the Gullah Geechee people, which were taken from Sierra Leone, and they were brought over to, because they were known for harvesting rice. So they brought them over during slavery times to do the harvest of rice in these places. However, you said something that was profound. You said that they stole the land from us. I got a problem with that, and I got a big problem with that. However, what we must understand, my brothers, that they don't own a damn thing down here. They don't own the land. They think they own the land, but they don't, and it will soon be destroyed. And nature or ancestors will show them soon that they don't own a damn thing on this earth. So, see, as a people, you know, I'm very spiritual, and I always say we are spiritual beings living human experience, and we must come back to operating from the spirit opposed to the physical. Now, when we operate from the spirit, we know that all of this is just really an illusion. The money, you understand, the economics. And as you can see, whenever nature's wrath is ready to hit, their land and everything, their weapons or whatever they have will be destroyed. And it's soon coming.
I know what you're saying, but right now in the time of suffering, people are starving because we don't have land. People are going off in a tangent because land has been taken, and I said stolen, but maybe it's a better word for us to use, pilfered. I just don't know any other word, because you're talking about paperwork that is proving along the Georgia southeastern coast that has been worth right now billions of dollars in the economic system of Georgia but never been utilized. Then you have an ability to stop the bleeding. So while we're waiting on this land destruction of the tomorrow, if not tonight, if not in the next moment, we have to stop the bleeding of our people who are suffering under this oppressive nature, literally in these Americas more than any other culture or nation of people of African descent. So let me go back again.
Are we really suffering, my brother? Let me tell you something. As the original people that created many, many things, why do we suffer? We don't have to suffer. We don't have to be oppressed. See, you have to remember, they took many, many hundreds of years to get us to the point where we think we are now. Now, how is it that a people so great that created many things cannot figure out how to stop suffering?
They've done that beautiful Willie Lynch systematic, I mean, drive it into your mind that if I divide those people psychologically, I can control their every move. Uncle said to us in an open statement, if you control a man's mind, you control their actions. So let me go back, because due to the oppressive nature that we were literally brought to these lands for free labor, of that oppressive nature under free labor tactics, let's deal with what the reality is at the moment is all that I ask for a moment.
My reality is that at the end of the day, let them have it. Because we don't own, and they don't own, nothing down here on this earth. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to that land, if I didn't already tell you. See, as I always say, ancestors are rising up. You understand? And let me tell you something. Let them have it, because guess what? They soon will not have it. Their doing will be their very own undoing. Understand what I'm telling you. And I'm speaking from spirit right now. Their doing will be their very own undoing, which basically means they can take it, but they will not have it, because it will be destroyed. Because any time that you think that you can continue to try and keep the people oppressed, anytime you think you can steal anything down here that doesn't belong to none of us all, it'll get destroyed. Now, if people want to talk about reality, that's reality, my brother. Y'all ain't seen nothing yet. So, why fight over something that will be destroyed anyway?
But see, that's it. That's just what you said, Sister Love. I'm on an island that we've been on as family members for 210 years, and I'm watching the ancestors burn the North End right now because it's on fire, and we don't have the proper fire equipment to put a fire out on this barrier island, which is the fourth largest in the state of Georgia.
But see, you said you're watching the ancestors burn it right now. Do you know why the ancestors are burning it? Tap into your spirituality,
yes,
my brother.
Yes,
because First of all, you got to look at it this way. Y'all are fighting over material that does not belong to neither one of y'all. However, I understand they stole it. It wasn't right. Don't get me wrong. But because they think they want to take it, the ancestors will continue to burn it so they cannot have it. Look at it from the spiritual side.
I just have to ask you that one question, because my ancestors bought this land in 1871 with the understanding in socialistic terms that if you own land, you can be generational and make sure that you thrive within the most prevalent nature of life that you can, whether it be materialistic and or tied to a land as an indigenous person. See, you have to remember, we fed ourselves for 200 years as we are right now on this island. See, we're cut off from the mainland. We have a boat that comes over to this island that delivers us and our goods on a schedule through the state. So in doing so, that boat is the only tie we have to the mainland. So we're still our own carpenters. But what I'm making point of is I know my ancestors had an idea for us to remain on those lands until the lands were disrupted with the hand of the Most High, and it's time for it to all be gone. So I know
that. Okay, and that was then, and this is now. We're in a different time in the day, my brother. And they may have had that plan, but now they don't have that plan anymore, because the white man has gotten greedy. They have gotten greedy. They have chose to destruct, cause chaos, take away the habitats of our animals, of many, many things. You can't even grow nothing on that land like you want, really, really want to. They have poisoned everything. And see, this is what I'm telling y'all, to come back to the spiritual side and understand and see it for what it is. And what we got to understand, at that time, yes, it may have been cultivated for you, but now, not no more.
Well, what are we supposed to do with it right now while we stand there? Let somebody else cultivate it and watch us as we stand?
Let me tell you something. It don't matter. just told you what's going to happen. And mark my words, when I tell you what's going to happen is they can cultivate it all they want, but it will be destroyed, as it is now burning.
Straight
it will be destroyed.
Down. Straight up and down.
At the very present, I know that the ancestors are burning it because we've now figured out how to get those lands back in our family names and have a position within this island to bring 1,000 of our family members back who had to literally eradicate themselves from the island for some form of economics to feed their children. So it's burning on the north end right now for regenerative efforts of the ancestors' people. I know this. I know this, sister.
You know, if you want my answer to what you all should do, I'm not going to tell you whether you should keep fighting or not. I mean, it's all my thing is I let the ancestors guide my every step of the way. I breathe, walk, talk my ancestors and stay in touch with nature. I don't make any moves unless they tell me to. So my suggestion is that you all get together. You understand? And let the ancestors guide and take it from there. Because at the end of the day, these white people, you understand? They do what the hell they want to do. They have taken land from many, many, many of our slave, you know, slave brothers and sisters over the years. They did
that's
it by
true.
Any means necessary. So why not?
I've had the opportunity to sit down with the person, and let me say this, Sister Love. What we're not doing is we're not fighting. We're allowing the ancestors of my blood to guide our path. So let me just, I wanted to tell you this, and this is the real reason I wanted to say hi to you. We've now sat down with my corporation as Raccoon Hall Community Development Corporation on Sapelo Island with
uh-huh.
the state. They are now in full conversation and signing of paperwork as of yesterday in declaring a public-private partnership with our corporation. Now that, in effect, allows us to start getting what some of the most atrocious things that have happened to our people on the island, and we're in talks of what we know as cemetery recovery, where our enslaved, and I did want to make that a point, we were never slaves, still can never be a slave unless that's allowed within yourself, of the enslaved family members of my blood who have been eradicated out of our memory up until 3 years ago when we started this, wanting to understand what the solutions are to the problems. They now yesterday agreed that they would be now, and I say they as the state of Georgia and the instrumentalities have agreed to now come to the island with their archaeologists, ground penetrating radar, and everything else it's going to take to find these dormant lying pits, which are the resting places of our people, that they have decided that they will now allow us back in to make sure we know our people are there with the other three cemeteries that we're now in talks of. And we just want to make a point, just one last point. It's regeneration. So while we're here, we must regenerate. We must find ourselves in a method of rebirth. And rebirth can only be done when all of the darkness has been cleared by the light. And that's what happens when you do something wrong and the light is shed on you. Here you go now, up against a wall. We must make right, and not in reparations, but in restorative justice.
But let me say something real quick, my brother. Did you say they allowed you? They allowed you all to do what?
I'm sorry. They allowed us to what?
You said they allowed you all to do what? I didn't hear. I heard you say allowed. Like, who are they? Are you talking about the white people?
Mm-hmm. No. No, when you're talking about the state of Georgia, you're talking about the General Assembly, you're talking about all of their instrumentalities. Our allowability has come from what the ancestors, I tell you, we are walking with. As you and I speak, I'm on the docks of the island.
Mm-hmm.
These ancestors have not only allowed us to regenerate ourselves with their moving forward, breaking down the walls, making them small things to giants, and allowing us to now enter these doors of conversations with what some could consider the oppressor directly, because you have to remember, our Honorable Governor Deal is the chairman over the authority of this island. So as the governor and the chairman, the ancestors now breaking these walls down has allowed us to walk in these doors and now sit at the table and have equity in governance, have equity in the governance of our own body as a people who have sat around for so long and listened to people dictate and mandate the ways that they would then live and or operate are no longer doing business as usual in the state of Georgia and many other states that we're now going into as a corporation with the 1945 Corporations Act to say, hey, this is no longer right with the 14 million acre land loss of a nation illegally. Here we are. Let's stand up because no longer will we bend over and allow the pressure to lean on our back. So if you stand up straight, they can only slide off. And they're sliding now. Sister, they're sliding all the way in the corridor known as the Federal Gullah Geechee Corridor, stemming from Wilmington, North Carolina, down to St. Augustine, Florida, and every section in between, 100 miles inland, has now the opportunity to reclaim and then have full retention of the lands while we're here, wanting to survive above a third world country level, where the institution that we know has been sending us behind brick walls with bars. We don't want to be there no more, and we don't have to be there no more.
Yes, but brother, we got to get the rest of these calls in, brother.
We certainly appreciate your time. Sister Love, with much respect.
Much respect, my brother. Give me a call off here. We'll talk more.
All right, let me get this other call in at 502-609. You're on the air with Sister Nikki Love, Black Power Radio. Black Power to you.
Black Power, this is Brother Richard.
Hey,
Black
Power.
From Louisville, Kentucky. What I want to ask you, Sister Love, is I'm a young intellectual myself. And, you know, like you was talking about how you do your work in the community. And my question is intelligence more important than being effective? And the reason I ask that is because what I hear is I hear a lot of intelligence, but I'm more interested in the work myself. I'm a young minister as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm past the point with us being knowledgeable, intelligent, even spiritual. Let's come out. It's like, is there anything wrong with just really wanting to be influential more than anything else?
Let me say this to you, my brother. Both is needed. You understand? Both is needed, intellectual and effectiveness. And I can say I have been effective because many, many people listening to my shows, because I haven't given up on my people over the last 4 years, have come together. And to give you an example, 2 years ago, started an African cultural class in Atlanta. Three other brothers in Detroit, I think it was Detroit, Chicago, and New York, actually started an African cultural class. So that shows you that it was effective by going to the library and asking to teach a class. So, yes, it's effective. Intelligence is important as well. I mean, we have to continue to educate our people because the conditions of our community right now clearly show that our people, not all, but some, are uneducated. They're uneducated because they have been a little bit more brainwashed, as I say. They haven't gotten self-knowledge yet. So what happens is when you see our people acting the way they do or not wanting to unify because there's no common unity in the community, we have to understand that they don't know. And when you don't know, that basically says where there's knowledge, there's choice, and where there's no knowledge, there's no choice.
Okay.
So we must continue to educate along with liberate, and then we can unify and be a little bit more effective.
Okay. I'm also a young man that's married, and I am faithful. Don't ask me how I do it. I don't know. But my question when it comes to like when you was talking about fidelity, I really, even in my marriage, it seems like fidelity is a deal breaker. And I don't think it's sufficient enough to be one. But what I really notice is, like, a lot of people focus on getting money when the truth is we need to focus on ourselves and become better people. And a lot of people, they treat fidelity that same way in their relationship. Do you feel like the lack of fidelity in some relationships is more like a scapegoat to get out of that relationship?
Yep.
Wow. Wow.
Yep.
You said yes, Nikki?
Yeah. You said fidelity, not infidelity. What did you say?
Is it more like a scapegoat to get out of a relationship? Because, like with me, I'm a fighter. You know, if my wife was doing something she had no business doing, I wouldn't just abandon her. And I wouldn't want her to do the same for me. I wouldn't abandon anybody that I truly love and plan on spending the rest of my life with. So to me, it just seemed like it's a scapegoat for a lot of people that are mimicking emotions of having a serious relationship to get out of it.
You know, at the end of the day, that's because they have lack of understanding of what a relationship is. They have a lack of understanding of that they are supposed to balance each other out. What I say, the number one thing is respect. Love comes after respect. And because we have a lack of understanding that a relationship can only be a relationship if you and one other person come together. So when you come together, that relationship becomes one. You know, at the end of the day, we have, like I said, been conquered and divided. We have no respect for each other. We talk to each other anyway. Society also plays a big part in that as well. So because we have no knowledge on what real relationships are supposed to be like, and especially with black men and black women, we are a spiritual people. You understand? So because we have lack of knowledge, we make many excuses to do many things. You know, I've heard it all. You know, sisters, you know, complaining, you know, brothers, well, I'm tired of being one woman. I just can't be with one woman. You know, I just can't see myself with one woman for 20 years, you know. And we got to remember society and the brainwashing has really, really put us in a mindset where we think we can't do it, and we can. It's all up to the individual.
Okay. I ask people for prayer. And, you know, hopefully you'll be praying for me, and I'm praying for Brother Shine, and also I'll be praying for you.
Appreciate it.
Let me ask
need
you a
some
question,
prayer.
Brother. You said even spirituality, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, you said you're a minister. What type of minister are you?
I'm a Christian minister.
You're a Christian minister?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All righty. And when you say you're a Christian minister, my brother, when you said even spirituality, that tells me something right there. What are you saying about spirituality in reference to the comment you just made?
Malcolm has something called Wake Up, Clean Up, Stand Up. And it seems like a lot of people, they just in the wake up and in the clean up stage. But when it comes to the actual standing up part, the manifestation of the mental and the spiritual work. So I'm into the three dimensional. That's also why the reason I'm a Christian as well. I'm really into the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Actually activating that and operating in that spirit. It's like
okay,
a lot
wait a
of
minute.
People.
Hold on, brother. You said the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, what happened to the woman? What happened to the woman?
What happened to the woman? The woman got a Holy Spirit as well. I'm pro women. I love women.
Let me tell you
women
something.
Women are the foundation of the church.
No, women is the foundation of the church. The woman is the foundation of you. Let's get it right. Second of all, anytime you sit there and tell me that the Son, the Holy Father, what you said, the Spirit. My goodness, y'all Christians, y'all kill me. But anyway, let me say this.
I was talking about it being three-dimensional. That was my point I was trying to make. Actually,
well,
we're in a
three-dimensional world. We shouldn't even be in a three-dimensional world. We shouldn't even be in a two-dimensional world. It should be a one-dimensional world. Just marinate on that for a minute. I tell you like this. Christians, let me tell you, and I say this to the Christians all the time. Christians, Jews, Moors, Muslims, whatever you want to call yourself, Judaism, whatever it is. You understand what I'm saying? We got to understand this. That's the major reason why we have conquer and division in this world. You understand? And the other thing is I call on my ancestors. I don't go to church and I don't pray. I don't pray to my, I call on them because I know they existed here at one time. So when you study from your King James Bible, I say there's some truth to the Bible, then there's a lot of plagiarism to it too. They took the woman out of the equation. That's the problem I got with it.
That's right.
Now, all I'm going to say to you is, my brother, as I say to all my listening audience, where there's knowledge, there's choice, and where there's no knowledge, there's no choice. I want you to go study a little bit more, and I want you to, as a matter of fact, I think Ray Higgins got some good videos on the Nicene Council that you should check out. Go look on YouTube and check out Ray Higgins.
Right.
Got many of my scholars, Ray Higgins, that's right, put in Ray Higgins and go watch some of his videos, and you're going to get some more education. And I want you to open your mind. I don't want you to have a closed mind and continue to stay brainwashed. Don't stay brainwashed because they done did a job on our people as it is already. But I do know a lot of our people are coming out of religion because they're saying, where's God and where's Jesus? And God and Jesus ain't appeared yet. But I do know that my ancestors, which is my mother that just transitioned last year, that I am her and she is me. So when I call on my mother to do what y'all call on Jesus to do, my mother comes through every time.
I lost my father when I was 2 years old. And me and my father had a hell of a relationship when I was a child. And I transferred that over into my Christianity because he was a Christian. And so I understand what you're talking about.
Your father, because he didn't know no better. He ain't know no better, and that's what it was. But your father walks with you right now, my brother. Is your father about? He look like about 6'1", maybe about anywhere between 5'11" and 6'1".
Yeah, he was 6'1".
He was 6'1". I see him brown skin. Your father was brown skin.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like a brown skin, and I see. It looked like he had a mustache, almost like a goatee. He used to change it up sometime.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Look at it, like some sprinkled gray in his hair, something like that. Like sprinkled gray. Or around the edges. I'm trying to tap in. Go ahead.
Everything else is on point. What I remember about my father is even at 2 years old, he was just a ball of light. He didn't have any facial features, and
Your father was a powerful man, and your father had the soul of a powerful ancestor. Your lineage comes back from Africa. Your lineage traces back, and what I'm seeing, it looks like your father was from the Zulu tribe, and his great-great-grandfather was a witch or shaman. Very powerful, but your father had a lot of power, my brother. Your father walks with you. Talk to your father. Walk with your father. And ask him to spiritually enlighten you on the truth. Go ahead and do that. Pour some libations to him.
Yeah, thank you, sister.
You're welcome, my brother.
All right. Peace, Brother Bridges. Let's get to another caller, 918-667. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. Now, Sister Nikki, before I bring the caller, I don't want you to forget before we lose any more time to talk about the earthquake that hit NYC. It hit the East Coast. people may give some credit to the meteorologist or what have you, but after we take this call, I want you to talk about what you knew about that earthquake. 914-667, you're on there with Black Power Radio. Your question, please,
okay,
Black Power.
Fine. Hey, Nikki Love, and this is Brother Elijah calling from Mount Vernon.
Peace.
Yeah, I'm going to ask Nikki something. I'm going to ask her again. Nikki, what's about to take place next month between now and October?
Between September and October, the next hurricane that's coming through is coming with tornadoes. it's going to do a lot of damage. Everybody was preparing for this last one, but it's going to do a lot of damage. So be prepared, people. And it's coming up the East Coast. Start getting your... Go ahead.
Yeah, peace, brother. Me and Nikki always talk about this on the talk show. Peace. When she came to New York, we was talking about everything, and then all of a sudden it happened, too. And then I found out after the tornado, one of my homeboys, he called me. He said somewhere in the Bronx, it was a UFO at the same time when it was over with. So I didn't see it. So I don't know if it was true or not.
There was
yes, sir.
Elijah actually is the one who asked me on film, on the video, the week before the hurricane happened. But Elijah's been following my show for a while. Elijah knows that in January 2011, I predicted the hurricane in Japan. They had a catastrophe in Australia and Brazil, and it happened, what, 2 weeks later, Elijah?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I only could speak, and, you know, of course, one of the brothers got smart and said, well, no disrespect to the sister, but, you know, if you follow geographical, whatever he said, you know, patterns, you'll see. First of all, I don't watch TV at all, people, just to let you know. I don't watch TV, and I don't keep up with nothing but Facebook and Twitter on the computer and my radio show. At the end of the day, all I got to say is my ancestors have given me the power to see and to see clearly and to speak and give a message to my people, and all I could do is be the messenger. For those who want to believe and take it and run with it, they can. For those who don't want to, I feel sorry for you. That's all I got
to
say.
Can I ask them? I want the brother to listen. When he said about Jesus, whatever he said, Jesus, Muhammad, Abraham, they not real. I know my mother and father is real. They transitioned to another place. They my ancestors. So Jesus and Muhammad, Abraham, they not real. They just spoke to me.
Okay.
All right, Black man. All right, we appreciate you, Brother Elijah. Hey, man, appreciate your call, brother. Peace to you.
Peace.
All right, let me get this other call, 504-432. You're on the air with our sister Nikki Love. Your question, please, Black Power.
Hey, how you doing, Black Power, Brother Sean? Look, how you
doing,
sister Nikki Love?
Black Power, my brother, how are you?
But I'm doing okay. Now, this is my question. I'm not going to see every... black woman is like this, but I don't see, maybe when I was coming up, I used to see a lot of the black women used to sit down and read to the children and stuff like that, but I'm talking about the ones that's coming up, my generation, I don't really see
mm-hmm.
them do that no more. It's just all about clubbing and partying and stuff like that.
Well, my brother.
And I see the older generation, I mean the older
mm-hmm.
generation of women, I mean, they don't have a connection to the younger generation of women.
Well, as we see the way the society goes, they continue to brainwash us at an alarming rate. However,
mm-hmm.
I have to say that both the responsibility falls on both, just as well as the black woman if they're in the club where the daddy's at, why the daddies ain't taking up the time with them. You see what I'm saying? So the responsibility falls on both. The relationship between black women and her children, you know, a lot of our sisters have gotten caught up in this society. A lot of our sisters, you know, from me speaking with them, are angry, they're tired, they're out looking for men, and they're out doing, you know, doing many different things. Not a lot, I don't want to say a lot, but a few of them, okay? Also, you have to remember we're in the information age, where hardly nobody picks up a book anymore. Everybody, if you notice, is on Facebook and all these social networking sites. You know, see, in my household, the rule is with my niece and nephew is that after school you have to read for an hour, and if you don't have homework, you got to read for two. I still make them pick up books. However, because of the information age and because time is changing at an alarming rate, you probably won't see that no more.
Okay.
And that's your question, my brother?
Yeah, that was my question.
All right, we appreciate you. What city are you calling from?
I'm calling from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Hey,
I can tell.
Peace.
I can hear that accent.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Peace to you down there, family. You all be safe as our ancestors.
All right.
We're, kick butt right now. Kick total butt on background. Try to keep it G-rated, Nikki, but...
Well, no, you got to keep it G-rated. It is what it is. They're kicking ass right now, and it is.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, just total, just annihilating this cracker. But hey, y'all be safe down there, family. We got number love for you down in the NO, man.
All right.
All right. Peace and blessings, Nikki. Now listen. I you know, a lot has been said, but I want to shift gears on this. I want you to touch on the importance of direct action in our community. Now, you know, we, by the grace of our ancestors, we're going to put on this National Day of Action October the 1st, another National Day of Action, and we're asking everybody, all of our people, to do something good for your community on that day. No matter who you are, what city you in, where you from, whatever you claim, blase, we're asking that on October the 1st, as a national and international day, that you do something good for your people on that day. Whatever it is, nothing is off limits to good. So, Nikki, can you talk about the importance of people doing direct action, taking direct action for our people and community versus so much of this mouth talk, mouth pooting and talking and everything that we're doing?
People need to get out in their communities. My thing is like this. If you want to see a change in the community, don't wait for Obama to come change it. Change your own community because it ain't happening. And the way we need to start is we need to, first of all, get together. First of all, the women and the men. Now, I used to say, we need a sisterhood, we need a brotherhood. We do, but them sisterhoods and brotherhoods need to come together. Ain't no more separation. We ain't got time for that, y'all. And only because I'm seeing in the spiritual that much is getting ready to go on in the United States. But let me tell you all this. Sisterhoods, brotherhoods, get together. Go and get them youth off the street. That's what we need to focus on, because our youth are killing each other at an alarming rate. They're becoming homosexuals at an alarming rate. And what we need to do is we need to get in our community, stop depending on them to come into our communities, and let's do something to change our communities, take our youth back. Let's take our youth back. That's what we need to do. Because I'm going to tell y'all right now, these youth are disrespectful and don't give a damn about you, that elderly woman up the street, that elderly man down the street. They don't give a goddamn. They're disrespectful. And I've seen it from New York to Detroit. You hear what I'm saying? So what we need to do is we need to get in our, first of all, the black women and the black men need to come together. We ain't got time to be hating on each other. We ain't got time to be talking about each other, S-H-I-T. We've got to come together. This is a state of emergency. And what we need to understand is we need to sit down and talk amongst each other, whether it's your babies or somebody else's babies. And if you got to knock on the door of your neighbor and their son is running the street, get them in your house, y'all get together, put together a community meet and say, look, what are we going to do? Because our babies are dying at an alarming rate, whether they're killing each other, whether they're being killed by police profiling, whatever it may be. Because I know, my brother, I am so tired. When I see, every time I see one of my young brothers, and I say, what of mine, because they're all my children. When I see them getting shot down, like we had a young brother last month, he running because he didn't pay his bus fare, they shot him down. We ain't doing nothing about it. We're running our mouths, and we ain't doing nothing. How many of our babies are going to continue to get killed in the street before we say enough is enough?
Right, exactly. 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 What would you say to the gangs? Now, I hear a lot of the elders say, I'm just trying to throw this stuff out here. A lot of elders say that the problem is the youth and the problem is gang violence. What do you say to the gang violence and the gangs out there listening to you right now?
Well, if there's gang violence and the youth, then where the parents at? That's the question I got. So maybe, you know, I was talking about this on Facebook. You know, they got their little flash mobs now. I said, we need to start an adult flash mob. And guess what? My thing is about it, we need to go by and do some drive-by whooping ass. You understand what I'm saying? See, the thing about it is we done got scared. I'm going to tell y'all like this, and I'm going to tell y'all straight up, I'd be damned if I let some little young boy make me afraid to walk my community or walk in the streets. You understand what I'm saying? I talked to a couple of brothers down here when I first came to Georgia, and I'm talking about my brothers, some big brothers. They was all ex-football players. You hear what I'm saying? I said, y'all brothers need to get a goddamn bus, get on that bus and start going in these communities and snatching these young boys up. Oh, no, we can't do that. I got my own son to worry about. And then they carry guns and this and that. Oh, really? I'm sure half of y'all got guns in your house. Go packing, but let them know. Let these young brothers know. We're going to take the community back. Y'all going to do right. And if y'all don't do right and y'all want to think y'all bad with some guns, we going to pretend like we in the Wild Wild West and we going to have a shootout. How about that? And we'll see who wins. Because some of these brothers were military trained, too. So at the end of the day, I mean, you cannot allow youth to make you scared to walk your streets. You can't in your community. It got to be safe for the younger ones that's younger than the youth. Now, as far as these gang goes, we know that the first gang we seen was on TV, and that was an Italian mob. So that's another little behavior that we have as well. The first gangs we seen was the European or the Italian mob. So when you talk about gangs and all this, it's not surprising that, you know, our kids, when people say, well, they're shooting each other. They're shooting each other where you think they know how to kill. America and all these countries do nothing but war. They kill.
Right. Exactly.
So where do you think they see it from? So can we get mad or do we understand why these kids are doing what they're doing and try to make a change? My thing is parents, get off your behinds. You understand? Know what your child got because I check mine. My niece said, you damn right, I'm checking your book bag and your room. And if you tell me you in the gang, I'm about to bust your behind in front of the gang and I'll beat all their asses too. How about that? Let them come on with it. And if they want to pull their guns, I got some too. So let's have a shootout. We're going to be in the middle of the street. And I bet you I'll shoot better than you because I don't have military training. So let's go. We got to stop being afraid. When the hell did we come afraid? There was a time when we were growing up, my brother, where you knew you couldn't even talk to your neighbor wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
You knew.
That's true.
Your mother, if you disrespected your neighbor, your behind was getting whipped by your neighbor, and then they was taking you home, and then they was whipping your butt again. How the hell did we become afraid of these youth? Not me.
Yeah, yeah. My granny used to say there's a big enough switch for you outside. big enough switch for you outside.
Well,
but yeah,
the thing about it is they're putting the guns in the neighborhoods because, see, we don't own the gun shops and we don't own the, you know who owned it, the European, the white man. He owned it. So they ain't putting them, they put them in the neighborhoods. Now, the point is the switch ain't going to work no more because these little ones want to carry guns. So you might have to get a gun and let them know.
Yeah, exactly.
Shoot them a goddamn leg and tell them, look here. You think you bad? Let me show you how bad you are.
So, Nikki, what do you say to the so-called conscious community? The so-called conscious, I say the so-called conscious community, no offense to nobody, but it is what it is. So-called conscious community and the infighting that's happening amongst the Black Power movements right now. What do you say to us that's tripping and set tripping on each other?
The so-called conscious community ain't no goddamn conscious community. There ain't no conscious community. Let me tell y'all something, real talk, right? I always been for my Black people. I was fortunate. I had one grandmother that came over here from Africa on a plane, and I had one that was on a slave ship, right? Check this out. So I know both sides of my culture. Now, let me say this to you. When I decided to really get down into deep into the so-called conscious community, I seen more drama than I seen in the 41 years of my life.
Right, right.
You understand what I'm saying? I see more division amongst my Black people in the so-called conscious community. I seen the debating and the fighting, and this one was going to kill this one. I was like, what the hell is going on? What is going on? So I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, hold on. So I'm not right, y'all. So I say, okay, you got the Moors over here. You got the Hebrews over here. You got the Black Panthers over here. You got this organization over here. Why is it that we have knowledge itself, but we are still yet so divided? But I'm going to tell you why, my brother, because first of all of us are still governed in the European system.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us will still navigate like or think like the oppressor.
Right.
Now, we can sit up here and say we got self-knowledge all the hell we want to. Do we really got self-knowledge? Because if you are conscious, which basically means just aware, and you really, really about, you understand, liberating the mind of your people and getting your nation back, you're going to walk, breathe, and talk consciousness in your culture. Now, we know we'll never be able to come back to the original African culture because we got them to Europeanize, and that's what we do in the conscious community. We continue to do exactly what the European does because we're still oppressed. I don't care what nobody say. You could even get the knowledge of knowing how the hell we got here, and you'll still walk like a European.
That's true.
And
that's
we still
want
to fight amongst each other. We still want to argue. You got everybody disrespecting everybody. I mean, it's sad. And when you think about it, it's sad. Wait a minute. How the hell you think we going to form a nation and y'all can't even get it together? Like the Black Panthers, the Hebrews, and the Muslims, everybody needs to put... Now, the Black Panthers, y'all do a lot of work. I got to commend y'all brothers because y'all have been out in that community for years. You understand what I'm saying? And y'all do good.
Love
I don't know who say otherwise, but I'm telling y'all right now, I know. I know.
Yeah, I love you
see, my
too,
father
brothers
back
and
in
sisters.
But what I was going to say is that what we have to do is put aside our different ideologies and understand that as a Black people, I don't give a goddamn if you ain't in the conscious community. You could be a goddamn Black actor, singer, whatever. That Black people are going through the same or having the same problems without that religion, without that certain ideology they got. They go through the same problem. I don't give a goddamn. It could be a Moor, a Black Panther, a Hebrew walking down the goddamn street, and a Muslim. And if the cops feel like whooping your ass, they ain't giving a goddamn if you a Muslim, Moor, Hebrew, Israelite, or Black Panther.
Exactly. Don't give a damn.
And that's what we got to realize. You know, we so busy. Well, I'm this and I'm that and fighting against you. Well, you going to argue with me? Hold on. Wait a minute, brother. I love the ground you walk on. Sister, I love the ground you walk on. Understand this. We still go through the same problems, whether you are Black people. So what we need to do is put them little beliefs aside or whatever you want to call them and realize that we got to save our community. I don't give a goddamn if you're a Christian. You still going to get profiled. You still going to get shot. If they feel like shooting you.
Straight up,
because
they don't ask no
do.
Questions. Now, that's real, because they didn't, because when they came through my door, they don't ask no questions. They don't ask you what you are, what you claim, none of that stuff. It's self-defense and survival at that point. You know what I mean?
That's right. As long as you got this skin color right here, my brother, they don't give a goddamn.
And I'm just, I'm saying for the record, I'm just saying let the record reflect anybody that got a problem with Nikki Love, you got a straight problem with the new Black Panther Party. Let me just say that on the air before the whole world right now, as I'm talking to you, we are family in this. Anybody that's in this struggle and that's serious and that's really organizing and really doing it, we family. We with you. We riding with you. But I'm telling you, especially some Nikki Love, that's our family. Any of you haters out there, leave her the hell alone.
You know what, my brother, I was always told that when you have haters, that means you're doing your job. You see what I'm saying? So,
yeah,
you know
exactly.
What, let the haters come about. They can hate us all. I don't give a goddamn because they don't see what they don't see what I see. They can hate all they want to. And I'm going to tell you this, to share this with you too. You know, last year, I used to let everybody come on and say, Black power, Black power, Black power, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I got a lot of heat about that. So people said, Nikki, why you stop saying... why you stop us from saying Black power? So then, you know, of course, they try to run their mouth and say I was turning against. I said, hell no, I'll never, ever turn against my people. But let me explain something to y'all. See, you had the white supremacists that came up with white power because they had to prove a point. Or they
right.
tried to prove a point. I did a show called White Power, Black Power, or Money Power. Now, see, some say, well, it gives us inspiration. Anytime you know who you are and know the power that you have within, you ain't got to walk around and say Black power. Because the way I feel, my brother, I am goddamn power.
That's right. You're living
that. I am
that.
Power. I don't have to show you. I don't have to tell you. I can show you better than I can tell you.
Right.
Now, some would disagree
right.
with that. But, see, this is what is going to inspire us to know, wait a minute, hold on. We ain't got to walk around here because we know. They know who we are, but we don't know who we are. We as a people don't know who we are. We don't know the strength and the power that we have, the most creative people on this planet. We don't know who we are. And what we got to understand, I ain't got to walk around. I'm going to show you better than I can tell you. You're going to know I'm power just by the
exactly.
by my presence.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. One good example, I would say, of that, is the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. Was you inspired by the work of Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad? Do you have any kind of impact on your life, sis?
I love Dr. Khalid Muhammad. I sure do. And he did have an impact on my life. But I have to say, actually, you know, before Khalid Muhammad came on, my parents did, believe it or not. My mother and father was a Black Panther.
Absolutely.
And they did. And the thing about it is that, you know, my mother and father was always for, you know, that, you know, Black power. my mother didn't play that, my father didn't play that. But at the end of the day, yeah, I love Dr. Khalid Muhammad. It's a shame that he's gone now, but he is an ancestor, and he's working through all of us. So let me tell you all this. Not near one leader or anybody, which we don't have any great leaders now, will be touched anymore. Malcolm X, Marcus Garvey, Martin Luther King, all of them. You see how they passed on? And we just still don't know to this day. I mean, we do know some of what went on. I'm going to tell you all like this. Not near one leader that rises up will be touched. I don't give a goddamn the FBI, the CIA, whoever, because they think they watching the goddamn ancestors is watching them, and they hot and heavy on their asses. No more.
Right. That's interesting, because a lot of the young leaders that's coming up, you was talking about that fear earlier. A lot of the leaders coming up are nervous, are a little anxious, because many of them feel like they're gonna get assassinated or get taken out. So you saying right now you believe ain't nobody gonna get touched, huh?
My brother, I don't believe. I know. It's time. We're coming into the time, as I tell everybody, of the all-knowing. You know, we get into this 2012, but we're not going to get into that, make a long story short, where consciousness is shifting. And what's happening is many, many of our people are coming out of religion,
mm-hmm.
and they're becoming more conscious of who they are. And although we see many of our Africans across the world, because we're Africans in America, we see what is going on with our people. As well as we're watching, the ancestors are whooping ass right now. And let me tell you something, they will not be able to strike down not near one more of our great black leaders, whether he's a man or a woman. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you how brilliant it's going to be. It's almost going to be like they're invisible to them. Each time they try, they will fail. Each time. So it's not a belief, I know. No more. Our people done been through enough. Our people done suffered through slavery. Our people done suffered through whoopings and you understand, burning. And even in 2011, they're still hanging, lynching. That's why I told you all to pay attention to what's getting ready to go down right here in the United States of America, World War III. It's going to be a war between the goddamn ancestors and the human white man. And guess who's going to win? The wrath of the ancestors and Mother Nature.
Exactly.
And if we don't take heed to it, we better pay attention. And we can all sit up here and say it ain't reality, but yes, it is reality. Oh, it's reality, clear as day. So they can't touch our people no more, because it's time. Enough is enough. As I said earlier, in reference to getting back in our communities and doing what we got to do and taking our youth back, enough is enough. And I know what I know. And I know that they will not. And we need to stop fearing. Stop fearing, goddammit. Stop being scared. Because we die to live. No, listen, though. Let me tell them this. We die to live. It's a natural process. And if you understand how nature works beautifully. Let me tell you something. From birth to death, and then from death to life. See, the way that the human body works is being a spiritual being, living a physical experience. You are supposed to die. If these goddamn white people were so damn smart, they would figure out how to make you live forever. But they can't, because they do not have more power than the creator force. So what happens is, you see, when you die, it's your time to go. Your body transitions out of here, but your soul continues on. And that's why it's very, very important for procreation, and all this homosexuality has to go out the goddamn door.
Right.
Because we must continue to procreate, because you die to live. So don't fear nothing. Your physical body ain't supposed to be here forever. And if it is your time, it's your time. Stop being scared. Walk without fear, my brothers and sisters. Stop being afraid. Because what you're saying is that they have more power than you. And they have no power. They have no power. They don't run nothing down here on this land. They don't even own the land that they think they own. Because soon you all will see, and you'll see, mark my words, there's going to be many catastrophes. As I said, there will be a major hurricane coming through. between September and October, and it will come with tornadoes, and there will be many fatalities. Between October and January, there will be a major earthquake in California. And when I say major, one like they never had before, and you're going to see many fatalities. Oh, the Wrath of the Ancestors ain't playing, y'all. Y'all better get the best advice I could give y'all, get spiritual. You understand? Align yourself with nature. You understand? And in the real world, prepare for what's getting ready to go down, because it's going down. Get out in the communities. When my brothers put on this event, y'all get your butts out in the communities and get our youth back off them goddamn streets. And black men and black women, come together, respect each other, and put your heads together and know that we got work to do.
Exactly. Exactly. What's, give us your thoughts right now, Sister Nikki, on what's happening with Africa, Libya, in specific, and the course that President Obama's taking. What's your thoughts right now on what's happening out of D.C.?
You know, all that's going on right now with Libya and Obama and all that stuff, they know exactly. They're trying to think that they can continue to control the resources that Mother Earth has given us. And this fight is over oil. They're killing each other. They're causing all this chaos and destruction over oil that ne'er one of them own. Obama, none of them. I don't give a goddamn. The Bilderbergs, whoever. Again, it all comes down to the fact that this basically is all an illusion. They don't own nothing down here. They'll never own nothing down here. And soon, it will be proven that they don't. As far as Gaddafi goes, I've heard different things about Gaddafi. I've heard he'd done a lot for Africa. Then I heard some say he did other things with the African sisters and brothers. Only thing I could say, and again, because I'm spiritual, my brother, all I could do is shake my head and say, they better wake the hell up. Because really, in the real world, they ain't running a goddamn thing. So I'm just sitting back waiting. It's not a coincidence that a Washington Monument cracked.
Oh, did it? I missed
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. During the earthquake. When the earthquake hit New York, Virginia, and all of them states right there, it cracked.
Damn, I missed that one. Okay, I'm going to check that one out.
Oh, go check that out, my brother, because it ain't done yet. Y'all ain't seen nothing yet. That's why let me tell y'all something, and people want to joke and talk about this as spookism. This ain't no goddamn spookism. This is real. This is the real reality. The real reality is open your eyes and take a look at what's really going on. I've been giving my people the message over 2 years now. Come back to your culture. That means that the indigenous culture, to the best of your ability, align yourself with nature, get in touch with nature, because y'all about to see some shit go down that you ain't never seen before. Excuse my language, but it is what it is. And I'm going to tell you all like this. Y'all ain't seen nothing yet. Like I said, it's going to be World War III and goddamn United States of America.
Man. So much that's being covered. Sister Nikki, now, we've addressed the family situation, we've addressed the political spectrum, we've addressed our spiritual spectrum. Let's give it the flip side. What is the healing? What can the black man do to heal the black woman, or to make steps towards healing towards his queen? And what can the black woman do? And for the listening audience, what steps can we make right now that you would say would help to heal the two broken halves?
We're going to have to heal each other. We're going to have to. The number one thing is respect. And number two is communication. We've got to sit amongst each other and communicate. Like I did the show last week, a message to my black men, and I made it clear that it wasn't a bashing show. I wanted y'all to listen, and I'm going to allow my brothers to come on the following week and do a show, a message to the black woman. Once we find out what the complaints are, then we can come together and say, okay, this is how we're going to fix it. And we have to mean what we say and say what we mean. We can't just say it and don't do it. We have to do it because we're in a state of emergency. Ain't no more time. We have to do it. So we got to understand that we must come together. We got to come together as black men and black women. We ain't got time for disrespect. We ain't got time to be acting crazy. We ain't got time for none of that. If we want to heal, we've got to communicate. We've got to get it right. And not only that, because if we don't, and if we don't get it right, and then we can't be those role models for our youth in the community, then we better kiss the goddamn black race goodbye. Because we have to teach our youth and the ones coming after them what it is, who they are, the power they have, and most of all, to be spiritual within, find peace within. So, I mean, we begin to healing by communicating and understand that we must respect each other. One doesn't dominate the other. You don't dominate me, and I don't dominate you, my brother. And in reference to the, you know, on my show all the time, is, well, the black woman is God, the black man is God. Real talk, it's the mystery of life. We don't know how we got here, so it's a worthless debate. What we do know is that together we are a force that is not to be reckoned with. And the black man and black woman need to understand that we, again, balance each other out physically, mentally, and spiritually. And when we understand that, we will see more productive relationships, be better role models for our youth. We can get our communities back, we can build our nation, and then we can have our government. But it starts with us.
We the key.
That's right.
We the key.
And the main thing is we got to move our personal, got to remove the personal beliefs. I don't care if you are a Moor, a Jew, a Hebrew, whatever you want to call yourself, you are still my brother with the same issue, the same problem. I don't care what your beliefs are, and we need to take them personal beliefs out of it and understand that we've got greater works to do.
Exactly. And that's for those listening, that's a focal point that I'm trying to drive home, and that Attorney Malik Fushabaz, the National Chairman, is trying to drive home, that we're all driving home, that we all are family. No, we're not tripping. Nobody's tripping. So I'm with you, Nikki. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to spread the same message. Hopefully you do it on your end. We do it together. And we're not tripping. Your titles and, you know what I mean, labels and all that, at the end of the day, that's what it is. It's a title and a label. Straight up.
That's right.
It's a title and a label.
That's right. That was given to it. Now, let me say this, like I said, on the streets in New York, on street consciousness. Let me say this. Allah, God, Jesus, those are all names that were given to you by the European. Now, one of the brothers came out of the street and said something so profound. He said to write a spell, and the spell should be, tomorrow, my black people will be in charge. He said that. So I came back to him and said, you know, I came back to a Christian brother. I said, you know, Jesus, Allah, Jehovah, whatever you want to call them, those were names that were given to us. And because we are the people that we are, with the melanin and the spiritual people, what we did is we put power into their names, which allow them to be controlling us. Masses of our black people are religious, whether they're Christians, Catholic, or Muslims, or whatever. Now, what we did is we gave them power. So when we call on Jesus, Allah, or whatever you want to call it, we are giving their deity names or whatever names they created power. Stop it, y'all. Stop it. Don't call on Jesus. Don't call on Muhammad. Don't call on Allah, because you're giving their deity names power. None of them things existed. But see, they knew. They knew. That's why they must continue to do their job. And we know the white man is doing their job. And you can't get mad at them. You can't get mad at them for the simple fact they're doing what they're supposed to do, but we ain't doing what the hell we got to do. And that
exactly.
is taking back the power that we have. And they know we had power, so they had to give us the Bible. They had to give us religion to
enslave us.
Enslave us and give their deity names power.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And we wonder why they got power. Because we gave them the power through the melanin and the spiritual people that we are. We were always spiritual. So stop it.
Right.
Get rid of them titles there.
Right, because the white man historically never had no spirituality. To be honest, you know that Nick never had no spirituality, never had no religion. None of that. Didn't have it.
And we didn't have none of that. We were one with nature. We understood we paid big homage to our ancestors. We understood that the black man and black woman balanced each other out. You understand? It was never no disrespect. It was never no hate. You understand what I'm saying? We didn't have none of that. They stripped us away from our culture. And now this is the product that you got, a black people that's divided and conquered. You understand? Hating each other. All of this. And we have to take back our culture. And again, we do know, because, you know, many people come on and say, well, I ain't going back to Africa. First of all, you ain't got to go back to Africa. But understand this. First of all, this whole world belongs to us. We walked across the world. So at the end of the day, you ain't got to go back to Africa. And we know that we won't be able to come back to our indigenous ways fully, but at least talk to that goddamn tree outside. And it may sound crazy to some, but I don't give a goddamn how crazy it sounds, because I have to say you're crazy when you don't. And because we are one with nature and we understood this concept, as a matter of fact, my brother, I have a CD I just came out with called Manipulating the Primordial Forces of Nature. I got 7 songs on there. And it talks about how we're interconnected with nature. We are all made up of subatomic particles. As a matter of fact, your physical body is not even physical.
Right. That's true.
So what we have to understand, and we all could say spookism, but no, this is part of who what your melanin consists of. Anytime I could walk outside, and some have seen it, and call on the spirit of the wind and the wind blow, because I've done it, and I'll get people to show y'all that I've done it. Or if I'm getting ready to sacrifice a chicken for the blood to communicate with my ancestors, and I don't have to cut the neck of the chicken, all I got to do is call on the spirits of the ancestors to come take the life of the chicken. That's the power that we had at one time. But we have been stripped away from that type of power. And people, our people think it's, you understand, spookism. You can't see the goddamn wind, but you know it blows. You can't see oxygen, but you know you got to have it to live. You can't see electricity, but you know that your body is made up of such. So what we need to understand,
right,
is this is what the most important thing our people got to do is come back to being one with nature. And then we can all come and we can all have one collective mind. And then you will see the major change amongst the black race or the African race or whatever you want to call it. But we're too divided right now.
Exactly. Quickly, could you talk to us about, now you said earlier, now this is going to be a critical point for some, but I do want you to talk about it. How come you, and I don't give us a service answer, but just give us that answer. Why don't you watch any TV?
Brainwashing. They ain't brainwashing my ass. And the thing about it is that constantly they send many subliminal messages through TV. Many. I mean, a lot of our learned behavior comes through media and the things that we see in society. So it doesn't matter. My thing is like this. If you all notice something, real quick, to make a long story short, I know I'm long-winded, but if you all notice something, when we didn't have TV, we went to bed on time, we was less stressed. You understand what I'm saying? We were more creative. Our minds were more creative. When we didn't have computer, we didn't have technology. You understand? We were more creative. We were more in touch with ourselves. TV, society, computers, all of that have played a part into taking us away from our consciousness and our spiritual selves. And we have moved further and further away. And that's why you see the destruction, the chaos, and all of that goes on in this world right now. Because we have totally separated ourselves from our spiritual consciousness. And all of these things have played a part in why we think the way we think today, why we do the things that we do. So as far as I'm concerned, TV don't exist in my world. No need to watch it. And let me tell you, not even for the weather, because all I have to do is stand outside and I'll know when a storm is coming. I'll know when an earthquake is coming. I'll know when the tornadoes are coming, because I listen. And that's the power of the African woman and the African man that we had. We were so in what we were so, you know, interconnected with nature. We knew we didn't know no damn. We didn't need no damn TV to tell us. And as a matter of fact, the hurricane, the weatherman can't even predict when the hurricane is coming, what day and what time. Come on, y'all.
Exactly. They don't know. So let me get these. Let me get a couple more calls, and then we run it short on time. Let me get these in here. 708-275. You're on the air with our assistant commerce, Nikki Love. Your question, please, Black Power.
Paul, brother. Much respect to you, Sister Nikki, and much respect to you, Brother Sean. I had a question
to you,
Sister Nikki. I was wondering, is any earthquakes going to hit Chicago?
Let me see. No, but I'm going to tell you what's going to go on in Chicago. I see a lot of, is there a lot of tanks riding around in Chicago right now?
A lot of
like
what?
Military tanks on the streets of Chicago. How come I'm seeing military men on the streets in the city of Chicago?
Well, I'm right outside the city, but I think there is a road somewhere in Chicago that they use for those tanks. I've heard about it, but I don't know everything about that.
I see a lot of tanks. I see there's going to be I don't see any major catastrophes coming through Chicago of anything. I see more hurricanes coming through, but it's not going to tear up Chicago like that. But I do see that Chicago, they're doing some stuff in Chicago, and there's going to be a lot of war in the streets between military
and...
Well,
we get a lot of tornadoes out here now. Well, I mean, we've been getting a lot lately.
I see that on the outskirts of Chicago, you're probably going to get tornadoes, but I see more hurricanes coming through. And this next hurricane that's coming through is coming with tornadoes.
Mm-hmm.
But I see there's getting ready to go. There's something getting ready to go down to Chicago with the inner city, my inner city black people, and the military, and it's not going to be good.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Can I ask you one more question?
Sure.
My father, he had died in 2001, and I was wondering, was he okay? Wherever he is now.
What's your father's name?
His name is Art Crawford.
Was your father heavyset?
Yeah.
That's a heavyset man. It looked like he was caramel, like a caramel color. Did he have, like, kind of look like he had moles on his face a little bit?
Uh-huh.
He did have moles, I see him.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like he was heavy set. He wasn't that tall.
He was short.
I see a short man. Your father's just fine, and I see him sitting on your left side. On your left side. Your father's fine. As a matter of fact, he wants you to come talk with him. Now that you know that, you need to pour libations and speak with your father. Did your father have like a raspy type of voice?
He sounded just like me.
Yeah, you got that type of... It sounded like a little bit raspy in there.
Well, his voice was a little deeper than mine.
Yeah, when he laid the law down, it was law, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. He didn't have to really pick up the belt too much. Just raise his voice.
Yeah, uh-huh, and he ain't play either. But your father's fine. Did he die from a heart attack? I see either heart attack or I'm seeing something. Did he have cancer or either something in his heart, with his heart? He had cancer?
Cancer, yeah.
Okay. Your father's fine. He said, and this is what he said. He said if he had a choice to come back here, hell no, he wouldn't come back here.
Yeah, that's him talking.
Go ahead.
That's
him. Yeah, he said he wouldn't come back here. He said, you're damn right. All right, but Daddy's fine. Your father's fine, and he wants you to come speak with him from time to time. I see him sitting right on your left side, my brother.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, brother. We appreciate you, black man, there in Chicago. You get prepared, man. You spread the word. You heard from my sister. You know, this is African spirituality. You heard it from here first. You spread the word to the youth and to the people in the streets. Prepare. Get your survival kits together. Get ready for battle because we got to survive.
That's right. And they could go to Acorn. They can go to www.acorn.com/emergency-kits, and they got them for $30. And you can get one for each one of your family members, or you can get the one for $250. And not only that, it got a blow-up boat in that bitch. Just excuse my language. I'm sorry, y'all, but I got to let y'all know this, because in Hurricane Katrina, too many of my people died. So they got a blow-up boat in there. They got everything you can think of, thermal blankets in there. They got water to tablets to, whatchamacallit, how you call it, purify your water.
Right.
And
water filtration, yeah.
Right. So the doggone right, they better get them.
All right, there you go, my brother. We appreciate you, black man.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, thank you. Stay
You're
strong.
Welcome.
Black power. Peace. Look at this last call in here. 347-737, you're on the air with our comrade and sister Nikki Love. Your question, please. Black power.
Hey, black power.
Black power.
Power,
sister, how are you?
I'm fine, sister Nikki Love. How are you?
I'm good. I'm enjoying the show, having fun with my people that I love so much.
That's good. That's good.
Right.
I just listening to you, you know, you definitely have, like, a lot of valid information and valid points. Made, like, a lot of strong points there. Especially, like, with the earthquake and the tornado and everything. You're right about that, because I actually, you know, had vision about that, and trying to tell a lot of people to be prepared for that. You know, so, you know, I really love that fact, but I'm kind of disappointed me, Queen, when you started talking about Jesus and, you know, and saying that how the white man gave him to us. You know, I hear, you know, the path that you're coming from, the point that you're coming from, but at the same time, you know, the European never gave us anything because we were Christians in Africa billions of years before the white man even came. You know, like Nubia and Sudan, Ethiopia, those areas, and even to this day, the high concentration of Christians there. You know, our original text was an African book. Even when you read it today, it's a lot of things that the European wished to get out that he couldn't even get out. Point one, that Jesus Christ himself was a black revolutionary. So, you know, I mean, just like, you know, Africa was a vast place, you know, and there were so many different ways that we worship God. We always knew, yes, about nature. You know, that's how we created the pyramids and everything. So we always knew about nature. We also always knew about God, which evidently, you know, you do know about God, because I heard you say it quite a few times about being spiritual, and that's very important.
But we never used the word God. And let me say this, I'm sorry if I disappointed you. However, to this day, and especially because of my African culture and being born and my grandmother making sure I had it, we have many gods. I have many, many gods that I call upon. And I don't like to use the word gods because in my language it's not called gods. We call them moonies, okay? Now,
okay.
The thing about it is that we have a creative force that the spirits and the ancestors will communicate to. But it wasn't God. The name wasn't God. The name wasn't Jesus. Now, I have not yet to find anyone who has showed me that Jesus was black. I do say there's a lot of truth in the Bible, my sister, right? However, a lot of it was plagiarized, okay? Now, as far as, you know, we know that the ancients, the Cometians, and the Nubians, we were not Christians. We were worshippers of nature. We were always a spiritual people. Always a spiritual people, but we were never called Christians. We never used the word God because we knew we had many. Even now when I do my spiritual work, I have many. I don't even use any of the deities that's used here with your Yoruba, with your Santeria, with your Candomblé, any of that. Nobody deals with the spirits that I deal with unless they deal with strict African spirituality, and we have millions of them that we call upon. But we do know there's one creative force, but we did not call that creative force God.
Right.
And it was not a he. It was not a he or she. In reference to the word, I mean, Jesus. Do we know? Did they ever show us, or do we know that there was a black Jesus?
I mean, think about it this way, Queen. Right. if there wasn't no black Jesus, then why do they try so hard to make him white? Like, that's the thing that we have to get away from. Like, everybody is always, like, down in, especially Christians and Jesus, you know. Okay, now we'll take it from the Hebrew text, right, because that's the original language. We'll say, okay, there was no J in Hebrew, but even still, yes, the name is Yeshua. Okay, fine, but still in all, it's still the same thing. The reason why, like you would say, Jesus or God, that's how most of our people understand it. So you use the language that most of our people understand to get, you know, to keep their understanding and keep your attention. You know, I know it was no, like, not God, it's Elohim, or Adonai, or however, whatever language. And even in the African culture, as the Honorable Khalid Muhammad did teach, he always taught that no matter what part of Africa you went to, no, it wasn't a thing of worshiping more than one God, although they had many different principles of God. But, for example, like he would say, Akula Kulu, which means one God. That's the, you know, and I mean, that's our people. That's our culture, regardless of whatever, if it is Christianity, if it is Islam, it all derived and came strictly and straight from us. You know, so it's not like, you know, to denounce anybody's religion. And
I'm going to denounce it, my sister, because a lot it has caused conflict and division amongst the people. And if we're going to sit here and say that there was a creative force, as I like to call it, a creative force, then why is it that the Jews are fighting with the Christians? I mean, the Muslims are fighting
because,
with the Christians.
You know why? As the Bible also says, he says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And even as we're speaking about now, the Honorable Khalid Muhammad, he also said that we need someone that will guide our people into the way of understanding that book. Like, don't throw that book away because that's part of our weaponry. But understand fully the way of the book. And that's all that needs
to be
done.
The way of the book, which is a Hebrew book that has nothing to do with the Africans. See, what we got to remember, that's their book. The Hebrew book. Now, if they're saying that, why is it that we are the only cursed ones in the Bible? Why is it that black people are cursed?
You know why? Because what they're basically doing is telling a prophecy. Even when you read Jeremiah 29, it says to us, it says, my people, you know, this is going to be a long captivity. This is what I want you to do. He gave us a blueprint, even in the very Bible, on how to get out of this. He said,
you said how to get out of it. Wait a minute. Answer me this question. Why are we the human culture? Everything on this planet is different colors, right? Why is it that it seems like the Africans across the world are the only ones that are cursed? Why is it that we're cursed? I think that's a whole bunch of nonsense, a whole bunch of bullshit, and I don't go with that because at the end of the day, you can't say you're giving me a blueprint to get out of something when we understood what nature was and we understand how nature works, and this is a colorful earth. There are supposed to be many different colors on this earth. Now, when you're telling me I got to get out of a situation, why is it that my race is the only race that is cursed? What do we do wrong for us to be cursed?
It's not saying that we're not cursed. But it's called, like, all right, I don't know if you have children or not, but I do.
I have a grandbaby, too. I have two adult children and a grandbaby.
And if my children don't listen to me, sometimes, you know what I have to do? I have to chastise them. Now, we were people that were supposed to teach everybody else. We're not supposed to follow nobody else. We're supposed to teach everybody else. We're supposed to be that guiding light. That's who we are as African people. But even as you look at it today, guess what? One thing that you did touch on also, you said that we need to return back to our culture, which is 100% true. We need to return back to our culture, but we're a bit too busy following and trying to be everybody else and follow everybody else's culture. So that's the reason why now he says, okay, I'm going to, you know, show you what would happen if now you decide to go and marry with these people. He tells you specifically in that same book, don't marry with these people. Don't connect with them. Marry your own. Live amongst your own. But are we following what our God said? No. So it's not about, okay, let me denounce this because, you know, it seems like we're the only ones cursed. But it's about going in there, understanding it, and living by its fullest.
Wait, sister, we did follow
potential.
Our own. But hold on. You got to remember, now, if we're talking about history, you had the Arab slave trade, okay, first, okay? So back then we were following what we were supposed to do. We were teachers. Then you had the European slave trade, okay? So we were following then. But see, they got very slick, you see. They came in and they colonized us, right? So they said, here, we're going to give you Jesus. We're going to give you Allah. We're going to give you, you understand, Yahuwah, or whatever, Jehovah to call on. Now, the question would be is that if we were supposed to be teachers, how were they able to come in and colonize the slaves and colonize our people and get us to
because
not be teachers no more?
Thing.
How are we taking
because,
the punishment
for
the slick and devious ways that they did? Why are we taking the punishment
state.
For that?
We fell from our state, and even in the very Bible, it warns you and tell you that these people are devils, that these people are not to be trusted, that these people are your enemies. It tells you that in the very same Bible, it tells you that. So, you know what we did? Because of, and even if you look at our nature now, we're so loving and so forgiving. We welcomed them. You know, no, you don't just, like, let somebody, you're a rank stranger into your home. You don't just let your enemy come into your home, because then once you let your enemy in, a little inch, you want to take over the whole thing. And that's what happened to us. And we have to understand that now, even like now, our ancestors for integration, a lot of them. No, it's not to be integrated. It's to have our own and to return to the place that we fell from. So with saying that, it's like we
because
meet.
We were loving and compassionate people.
Right.
Because we understood how nature works. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't
that we just let them come and take over. All due respect, right, I hear you and I understand you, but there's one thing, and even Marcus Garvey said this. He said that one thing that our people need, we need our God. We need our God. But what we need to do is be able to look at that God and see ourselves. So if I can look at my God and see myself, then I don't see if, you know, it's appropriate to denounce anybody's God as long as they see their self in their God. And that's
I'm
going to
keep that. You know what, sister, I hate to disappoint you, but I'm going to keep denouncing for the simple fact because it's one of the problems that cause our people to be divided. Because if you look at it right now, again, you heard me say earlier, you got the Hebrews against the Muslims and the Muslims against the Christians. So when you sit here and you tell me that I should not get at people, now, whatever you do is your personal business. Whatever you do is your personal business, and I tell them all. But at the end of the day, that God that you are calling upon has not yet come to save my people. Now, what I will say is that that's the number one reason why our people are divided, because we have not returned to our original spiritual ways. We have not. We knew that there were many, many gods. We knew that we were God within ourselves, if you want to use that for layman terms, because it's the language we understand.
Right.
However, we were not conquered and divided. What they have caused us to be conquered and divided, and that's why most of your wars are religious wars.
Right, because, yeah, look, even in the Bible, it talks about that too. Job 9:24 says that the earth is given into the hands of the wicked. They cover the faces of the judges thereof. Who shall know it? See, who is he talking about? He's talking about this white man, the very devil that's here ruling this earth. He's covering the faces of the judges, which are truly us. He's doing this. He's the enemy. And he's the one that's causing all this confusion. He said, when you see the son of perdition, you will be surprised to see the son of perdition. He also says, you know, you talk about the synagogues of Satan that say they are Jews but are not. It's those same people that keep saying that they are the Jews, but they are not. We African people are the true Jews. We African people are the true Christians. We African people are the true Muslims. We are the African people are the true spiritual people of this planet Earth.
We were the true spiritual people without the titles, my sister.
Right.
Because
okay,
when
well,
it was that way
away,
in
we
Africa,
away,
we did not. Say it again.
We can put away the titles, but at the same time, we need to understand this, that it's, even if we put away the titles, it don't change what it is. If a rose is called by another name, is it still not a rose?
Let me tell you something. Tell me. Have you seen God? And if you want to say God within yourself, you can say you're a God. But have you seen this God? Have you seen this Allah? Have you seen this Muhammad?
I'll tell you this, Quinn. I might not have seen him.
Mm-hmm.
I might not have seen him as taking a Kodak picture. No, I didn't see him physically like that. But I'll tell you this. Many times in my life, when I was down and nobody could help me, that same God stepped in and he helped me. And I know it was God because there was no other way that a lot of things could have been changed, prevented, or whatever without God. Even when sometimes...
I'm going to tell you why you're wrong. That wasn't God. That was you.
No,
that
ma'am.
That was you.
I'm gonna tell you why it was you.
Because you just said just a minute ago that you are a God within yourself. So that was you.
No, ma'am.
If your God in your Bible says I created you in the likeness in the image of myself, that means that you are God and God is you. And see, that's a concept that they took from the original Africans.
Like
let me tell you this. That's a concept that was taken from the original Africans. As I always say, I am my ancestor and my ancestors me. So when I call upon my mother who have transitioned last year, you understand? She downloads information into my DNA. I have aspects of my mother within me. I am my mother and my mother is me. That was an original African concept. So it wasn't God who did that. It was you who did that because you have the ability to change your thoughts, to change your mind, to change your situation. You are a God within yourself. You have the power to do what you think that so-called invisible God did. You did it, not that God
A lot of people say that. A lot of people tend to say that very thing, like, oh, you know. But I'll tell you this, Queen. I might be a goddess to a certain extent, but there are certain things that I know for sure in my life that was out of my control. And I know had nobody stepped in but God, no telling what would have happened. Matter of fact, I'll give you one of my testimonies. You know, if y'all have time, I'll just share something real quick. I have many other testimonies, but I will give just this one. One time, I had got myself pregnant, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said, man, I don't know if I should have this child or not. What to do, you know. Had already called to have the appointment. You know, to have an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm crying and I'm praying because I'm like, I know this is wrong, but should I go this route? Okay. So I told my mom, and my mom like, Dad, you know, you already got a child. What are we going to do? So, you know, I said, I was crying all night. I said, God, I don't know, man. You know, I don't know the situation, what's going to happen, but I give this to you. You know, I need your help. And I went to bed, you know, I went to bed early or whatever. I said, all right, you know what? Well, I'm pretty sure I had to wake up, you know, the next morning for the appointment, had my heart set to wake up to go to this appointment. You know, whatever. If nothing miraculously happened, I was going to go set to get that appointment, to have that abortion. So I wake up the next morning. My mother says to me, nah, lay back down. Don't go and have that abortion. See, things like that, even if it seemed as little to some people, I know that was God. And I didn't have no power.
How do you know that was God, my sister? Tell me how you know that was God.
I had no power in that. I was helpless. I didn't know what to do. That wasn't God. Who was it?
That wasn't God. That was you.
Your mind.
Hold on, wait a minute. Like I said earlier, you are a spiritual being living a human experience. And when you went to sleep, your soul, or your star, as we call it in Africa, was the one who allowed you.
I hear you, Queen.
I hear you.
I'm really sorry that you feel that way. You know,
No. You ain't got to be sorry. Because, see, I'm not here to force anything that I know on you. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not here to do that. My job is to continue to enlighten my people and let them understand that we die to live and that we must pay homage to our ancestors and continue to praise them and know that we are our ancestors and our ancestors are them.
Right,
now, when I call upon my ancestors, you understand, just like you prayed to your God, I call upon my ancestors, and I still continue to do the physical work because, remember, I am my mother and she is me. We share the same blood. We share the same DNA. So I have aspects of her. So while she's in that other realm, she continued to download information. It's not a coincidence, is it, that I'm able to see